I'd like you to turn back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. Proverbs, chapter 31. And this chapter has two key lessons for our learning. Verses 1 to 9 consists of the instruction of Lemuel's mother, whose son was the king. And then in the last portion, or the conclusion, concluding chapter of 31 from verses 10 to 31, there we have the description of a wise and virtuous woman, which is referring to her strength of godliness. And here is a description of a God-fearing woman who is a believer. And she is here depicted as one striving for such Christian virtues, which is only possible through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Our focus this afternoon is on verses 6 to 7. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Upon our first reading of this verse and the preceding verses, it seems that there is a contradiction. Are we supposed to drink or not to drink? Particularly referring to wine. We shall look at this in detail soon. The subject I would like to speak to you this afternoon is the divine cordial for the tried saints, or the afflicted Christians. So I am speaking to Christian believers. The divine cordial for the tried saints. Most Bible commentators or translators are of the opinion that Lemuel is actually Solomon. The name signifies one that is for God or devoted to God. And so it agrees very well with that honorable name which by divine appointment was given to Solomon. Whether Solomon is Lemuel or not, the point is that it is the teaching of a godly mother to her son. And we do well to take heed of her words, as it is in inspired scripture. Let us now look further into this text. From extra-biblical source, meaning to say sources outside of the Bible, it is a common practice of the Jew to give a cup of strong drink, usually with some potent drugs into it or mixed with it, to stupefy, to numb, so to speak, those who were about to be executed, so that they may, in sort of like not in their right frame of mind, and they in a very dull sense. Perhaps that is the meaning of the words, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. We also know from other sources, and even from our own experience, human experience, that those who have been weak or fell ill, and those who perhaps are on the very borders of their deathbed, have often been medicinally relieved by wine given to them, which they could not possibly purchase for themselves. And so perhaps this is the literal meaning of the text. Therefore, verses 6 to 7, as we see here, and I want us to take note, this first part of this chapter, verses 1 to 9, is not about whether to drink wine or not. The point is this, it is not an inference that we would be able to forget all our misery and poverty by drinking wine or alcoholic drink. And of course, we know that many people in our foolishness, we think that by doing so, we can so-called drown all our sorrows and it will relieve us of all our pain through alcoholic drink. And of course, others will go to even a greater extent of drugs and what have you to numb their senses, thinking that it will help. But in actual fact, it adds to the pain, adds to the sorrow. And so if you think that this passage is talking about using of wine to forget your misery and poverty, then you have woefully misinterpreted scripture. I am going to use this text in a spiritual sense, for it has a far deeper meaning than that which appears on the surface. We are aware that there are many Christians who are doubting, despairing, discouraged, and there are those who are so downcast, they are ready to perish, to give up. Perhaps you may be going through some of this, or you may know of someone, a brother or sister in Christ, or even a family member who is going through very difficult times. And so I would like to consider with you from this passage that there is in the Word of God a very full, rich store of comforting truths which are far more comforting to our spirit or to the spirit of the one who is depressed than wine can ever do to our body. We are to give this divine cordial or gospel cordial to those who are heavy of heart, that they may drink and forget their misery and remember their doubts and their despair no more, in a spiritual sense. So in attempting to obey the precepts of the text, let me first present to you that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most comforting cordial. The word cordial, as I discover through my little search or research, the word cordial used in the noun form, in the British term, it means a sweet fruit-flavored drink. Whereas to a North American, these words refer to liquor, a strong, sweet, alcoholic spirit. But like I said earlier, I will take the term cordial in a spiritual sense. Perhaps some of you, as I said, who are here of heavy heart, downcast, perplexed, troubled, perplexed by many issues of life. Or it may be that you or one of your loved ones are stricken with sickness, and it came so suddenly that you are surprised or shocked. Or perhaps some of you are at your wit's end as to how to deal with an issue or a problem at work or at home and for the, perhaps for the younger one in school, whatever the situation it may be, I cannot tell. I don't have the power to look into your heart and to tell the causes of your sadness or the hearts of anyone else, any believers. But I can do my part, particularly as a Christian, as a minister of gospel, and as a pastor, is to offer to you, and particularly to those in our congregation and those who are believers in the Lord, to offer to you the Lord Jesus, His own blessed cordial, which is far, or rather more than sufficient, to comfort every sorrowing saint here. And it is our privilege and our blessing for us who are Christian believers that we do that part of offering comfort and offering this gospel cordial to those amongst us, or even, as I said, perhaps you know of someone outside of our church or a friend who is troubled and discouraged and despondent. We have this privilege and blessing as God's people to offer them this gospel cordial. Remember this, for those of you who are going through very difficult times, whatever the difficulties may be. Beloved, all that happened to you, all that happened to a Christian believer, comes in the course of divine providence. Nothing happened by chance. Nothing happened by luck. Your loving Heavenly Father has foreseen, foreknown, and I venture to say, foreordained it all. Meaning to say, God so purposed and so willed that you go through certain difficult times at certain stage of your life, whether younger, older. The medicine you have to drink is indeed very bitter. We don't deny it. We must acknowledge that. But the unerring and kind physician, the Lord Jesus, measured all the ingredients of that sweet, fruit-flavored drink. Measured it, all the ingredients, drop by drop, and then mix it in the very way in which they could best work for your highest good. Nothing in this world, as I said before, happens by chance or luck. That great God, the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, whether you believe it or not, or reject it, or do not believe that there is a creator who created you, and you believe in evolution, it doesn't matter, you don't change the fact. That God, for those of us who are believers in that God, the God of the Bible, who walketh in the circuit of heaven, according to Job 22:14, to whom all things that he has made are counted as the small dust of the balance, Isaiah 40:15, and who maketh the clouds his chariot, and walketh upon the wings of the wind, Psalms 104:13, that same God, the creator of heaven and earth, who is in absolute sovereign control over every affairs over this world, cares for you with such special care that he has even numbered what? Do you know which verse I'm going to refer to? Number the very hairs on your head. Matthew 10:30 and Luke 12:7. And not only that, God do further than that. Not only does He number the hairs on your head, He knows but he put your tears in his bottle. Psalm 56 verse 8. You may therefore, brethren, therefore rest assured that even those experiences which are causing you so much pain, so much hurt, are all in accordance with his eternal counsel and decree. Nothing is amiss. Do not this divine cordial, as we see in Scripture, as God promised such cordial to us in his word, do not this divine cordial make you or cause you or inspire you to forget all your poverty, your misery, and remember your misery no more? If it does not, if this is revealed to you that there is such cordial in the gospel available to you to relieve you, to comfort you, and if it does not do that, it is because of your unbelief or your distrust of his cordial. Remember too, brethren, that everything happens to you who are God's children. Do we not see or learn in Scripture that it should be no surprise to us, the Christians, as we are told, as the Lord Jesus said to us, his disciples, and to all of us believers, that do not be surprised when the world hates you because they hated our Master, the Lord Jesus. As they have done to the Lord Jesus, do you think we, you, me, who are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, will they spare us? No, they will not. Just as they go after our Master, they will also go after us. And so remember, everything that happens to you who are God's children is working for your present and lasting good or eternal good. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to the of his purpose. Which chapter? Romans 8:28. So therefore, let us, brethren, when you are downcast, when you are despondent, when you are afflicted, always turn back to the Word of God. Always turn back to him. He is there. His Word, his promises are there. Read through it again. Reflect. Recall. If you could have chosen your own circumstances and condition in life, realize this. If you could have chosen your own circumstances and condition in life, you could not, being human, being sinful, you could not have made so wise a choice as God has made for you. The gardener knows where his plants will flourish best. The gardener knows where his plants will flourish best. Some of them, and sometimes we do, we wish to grow in the sunshine altogether like the fern family, but they are better in the shade. Some of us, perhaps we prefer to be on the mossy bank, maybe near the river bank where it is closer to water. But the gardener puts them in sandy soil because he knows that it is better suited to the requirements of their nature. You see, brethren, God, who is our Creator, he knows. He knows us, each one of his children, better than we know ourselves. We, in our fallen state, we are limited in our knowledge. We are limited in our understanding of ourselves, of our nature. But God, who is our Creator, created us in His image. God, who sent His Son to give His life for us on Calvary's cross and purchase you by His blood, He knows. He knows best. Therefore, brethren, you may depend upon it that there was never an earthly father who was so attentive to the needs of his child as your heavenly Father is to yours. I dare challenge any earthly father or even mother. Do you think you are able, being human, with all your limitation, care for each one of your children to the minutest detail, 24/7, 365? Not possible. Only God, the Creator, our Heavenly Father, He is so attentive to the needs of each one of His children. Do not wish, therefore, to have it otherwise, beloved. Be not only content with such things as you have, but say with David, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage." Psalm 16, verses 5 to 6. So therefore, may I invite you, and even invite myself, to drink of this divine cordial. And soon, we shall forget all our poverty and remember our misery no more. Moreover, do you not know? Have you forgotten, brethren, that the Lord Jesus Christ is with you in all circumstances and all situations, in your poverty, in your time of joy, in your time of misery? Remember? If not, I would suggest that you go back and read the Bible. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they never realized the presence of the Son of God so blessedly. Until when? Until they were cast alive into Nebuchadnezzar's burning, fiery furnace. So you see, brethren, the pain and the sorrow, the trouble, the difficulties in life, the affliction, the sickness, and even those troublemakers that God sent to poke at you is of divine appointment for your good. Because it is through going through all this. It is, as I said before, it is not time of feasting and partying that you will get close to God. That you will feel and learn of God's mercy, love, grace, and power. It is in times of affliction. And so it is the same. They never realized the presence of the Son of God so blessedly until they were cast alive into Nebuchadnezzar's burning, fiery furnace. But God's presence with them, God's presence with them was so manifest, was so clear, even that heathen king, Nebuchadnezzar, he has no other choice but to exclaim what? He says, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt." Meaning to say, the three friends of Daniel, they have no hurt. "And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Daniel 3, verse 25. And so, brethren and friends, it is to you, you who specially need such a cheering, comforting message, that the Lord says to you, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted. Isaiah 66, verse 13. So, brethren, whatever you may be going through, and you may be silently bearing it, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. And His presence, His promises is with you. It is now up to you whether to believe it and to receive it and to ask of it. It was to His ancient people, the people of old, the Israelite, that God gave the gracious promise, and it was concerning them, and that it was said, in their affliction, He was afflicted. God was afflicted. And the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and in His pity, He redeemed them. And He bare them and carried them all the days of old. Isaiah 63 verse 9. It is in such a way, brethren, that God still tenderly, lovingly, daily deal with His tried and afflicted people. And this thought ought to be like a cordial to make you, who are His blood-bought children, to forget all your poverty, your misery. The other comforting thing that I should say to those who may felt that God has forsaken you. Perhaps you have been praying for a long time, but there seems to be no answer from the Lord. He seems to be silent. And to you, I want to say this. Remember, if you ever were a child of God, you are a child of God now. And you are a child of God for all eternity. You passed through many changes, indeed, during your pilgrim journey here in this life, on this earth. You passed through many changes, but you have a Savior who is ever the same. And what is that promise that He said of Himself, the prophet, or rather the apostle, in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. You and I be changed, but God changes not. He is the, we call it in a more so-called bombastic theological term, immutable, meaning to say unchangeable. You have your ups and downs, and you change with every phase of the moon, but with the great Father of lights, there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1:17. And so therefore, those of us who are in Christ, and brethren, I invite you to sing, rightly sing, with the hymn writer, unchangeable His will, whatever be my frame, His loving heart is still eternally the same. My soul through many changes goes. His love no variation knows. God never began a work of grace in anyone and then leave it unfinished. He never adopted a child into His family and then cast him out to perish. Impossible for God to do that. The Lord Jesus Christ never first married any soul and then divorced her. For what? For He hateth putting away. Malachi 2:16. He will never part with any member of His mystical body. If God could do that, such an outrageous thing, then God would Himself be incomplete. And then we are wasting our time and our energy believing in such a God who can do such outrageous things that human beings do to each other. So, my despairing brethren, I say to you that if you have ever had the light and the love of God in your soul, not only are you still a safe sinner, but the time will yet come when you will know that it is so, and it will be so for all eternity. Like Jonah, you will yet come up out of the depths, and with him you will ascribe all the glory of your salvation unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I now come to my last point. The duty and the privilege to drink this divine cordial when it is given. The duty and privilege of the Christian to drink this divine cordial when it is given. We can bring a horse to the water, but we cannot make it drink water. We can carry the gospel cordial to the sinner, which is our duty and our privilege and our blessing, but only the Holy Spirit can sweetly constrain the sinner to take a full, deep gulp of it. So as it is my duty as the pastor and the minister and the preacher of the gospel to preach the gospel to you, to present to you the gospel cordial, so it is just as much as your duty, my friends and brethren, and your privilege to believe it when it is preached. Faith cometh by hearing. Romans 10:17. But alas, we know there are so many who hear the word, who are like those whom the apostle wrote that the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Hebrews 4:2. To have healing medicine in your hand and yet not to drink it, it is to commit spiritual suicide. But I pray, friends and brethren, I pray that you at this very moment will drink it and will live. The water of life set before you. It is presented to you. Your coming here this afternoon to this church is of no coincidence. It is the Lord's appointment. It is the Lord's grace to you and to all of us that we can hear this gospel cordial, this divine cordial presented to us. And now it is our responsibility, our part, to either take it, drink it, or reject it. The door of God's mercy is surely open, and you are cordially invited to enter. And so come, come into God's royal palace of salvation. For once you come, and once you enter into that gate of God's royal palace of salvation, once you are inside, my dear friends and brethren, you shall never be cast out. Jesus still says to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. Is it not true? There are so many people in the world, all those around us, our friends, our neighbors, and including ourselves. Are we not in need of rest? We are living in such a tumultuous, dangerous times, just in this country. How it has declined. Do we not need rest? Rest is what you and I need. Rest of mind, rest of heart, rest of conscience. That rest can come only to you by faith. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Hebrews 4:3. O brethren, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. take his yoke upon you and learn of him, for so shall ye find rest unto your soul. Matthew 11:29. Look to no one for that rest. Look to no other. Look not to even your best friend, your fathers, your mothers, your pastors, your elders, your deacons, whoever. They will not give you that rest. Look not to the world. Look not to the things of the world, the material things of the world. And that is why you see there are so many people who are going after this and that. Why? Because it only shows the void in their heart. They will go for music, go for drugs, go for alcohol, go for fun, go for party, go for extreme sports, go for rock climbing, go for, I don't know what, skydiving or whatever. Actually, it reveals what? They are not just seeking for thrill per se. It is seeking to fill that void. Of course, they describe that void as thrill, as something challenging, but actually it reveals that void in them. They are looking for that rest through so many other things. And some, of course, through books, through study, through work. They will drown themselves through work, and they think that that will help them to feel that void. Oh, I find satisfaction in my work. Well, which is good. Honest, hard work is good. It's commendable in the scripture. But that will not give you the rest, brethren. And therefore, not only will we find rest when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you shall also realize that there remaineth not only the rest in the present, but there remaineth another rest, a fuller and yet more blessed one, even that eternal Sabbath, or that eternal rest, which is the blissful portion of all the people of God when Christ returned to claim his church, his people. You see, so it is not just rest while we are here, but it is rest for all eternity that is coming. There is that cordial divine which we are commanded to place within, which are placed within our reach. And therefore, may I invite you once again, and I plead with you, and I urge you, brethren, turn to no one else. Turn to nowhere else. Drink now all this gospel cordial, and you shall indeed forget all your poverty and remember your misery no more. May the Lord bless you, my brethren and friend, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we ask that, Lord, you would deliver us from our unbelief, that thou will increase our faith, our hope, and our trust in our Lord Jesus, that we will not lean unto our own understanding or lean on the things of the world, but that, Lord, we may turn to thee, as you have so graciously and continuously extend your cordial, your gospel cordial to us. O Lord, help us not to hesitate, not to doubt, but to immediately drink it. Drink it, so that we will forget our poverty, our spiritual poverty, and remember our misery no more. So help us, we pray, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.